Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. The head of UNMISS tells a high-level UNGA meeting that aid workers are still being prevented access to parts of South Sudan.
That has meant that smaller groups, often ethnically orientated, are moving in ways which mean that they're moving from being rebels to being criminals and back to rebels again.
And experts warn holding elections in South Sudan next year would be catastrophic.
Do not be legitimate because a third of the population is displaced. Some of them are out of the country. It cannot be legitimate because political leaders, even the opposition that are abroad, some of them have been arrested and rendered back to Juba.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. As the United Nations General Assembly session continues in New York, a high-level meeting was held today on the humanitarian conditions in South Sudan as the nearly four-year conflict drags on. For Catherine Mwangi, a UN representative from Kenya, the meeting triggered deja vu, or a feeling of familiarity, with speeches that have been made in the past many times.
Everything that you've said here today, we have said to the people and the leaders in South Sudan. So they're not hearing this for the first time. We have told them that it's their responsibility to bring peace to their country. We have told them that they must ensure humanitarian access so that we can deliver food and support to their people. We've also told them that there is an absolute priority need to stop the violence in their country, and that none of us will go there and do that for them. That we can support them in many, many ways, but we cannot stop the violence.
First Vice President Taban Dengai reiterated his government's promise to achieve peace in the country.
South Sudan is committed to restoring peace, and in this regard, the leadership of the country, both President Salva Kiir Mayardit and myself, as partners of peace, have agreed that there is no other viable option. As leadership in South Sudan, we share a good working relationship with the overriding goal of the transitional government of national unity to bring peace in South Sudan. We have no other option but to bring peace to the country. War is not an option. The government of national unity is also committed to the IGAD high-level revitalization forum and willing to have dialogue with opposition groups, while the transitional government of national unity is expected to extend an olive branch. The same is expected of the armed opposition groups. The Tigono is committed to reaching to people that are interested in dialogue.
David Shearer, the head of UNMISS, says most places in South Sudan are being reached by humanitarian activities, but says there are some critical areas where aid workers still do not have regular and sustained access. He says allowing humanitarian access is the responsibility of government and rebel forces, but complicating matters is the fact that various rebel groups have grown in number across the country.
That has meant that smaller groups, often ethnically orientated, are moving in ways which mean that they're moving from being rebels to being criminals and back to rebels again. What does that mean? It means for humanitarians that if you want to go from Juba to Yambio in the southwestern corner of South Sudan, 12 different groups need to be negotiated with in order to move down that road.
Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, says more money is needed to fund the humanitarian disaster caused by South Sudan's conflict. He says only 28% of the $1.4 billion requested to assist refugees this year has been received. Grandi says his office will not see displaced populations from South Sudan going back home anytime soon.
When I have met refugees in Uganda, in Ethiopia, in Sudan, in other parts, what they're telling us is we've been refugees once. We've come back as a gesture of trust in peace. It will be much more difficult to convince us to go back again a second time.
Mark Lowcock, the UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief, says the crisis in South Sudan could spiral out of control if leaders don't find a peaceful solution to the conflict.
UN agencies and NGOs have arrested famine in the Leer and Mayendit counties of Unity State, but the conflict has caused the number of people just one step away from famine to increase from 1 million to at least 1.7 million since February. But the suffering goes far beyond hunger and malnutrition. In this conflict, civilians suffer widespread, egregious human rights violations by armed actors on all sides. Thousands of villages have been burned and looted. Rape and gang rape are systematic and widespread. Children and women are forcibly abducted into fighting forces. The country is facing its largest ever cholera outbreak. And one in three of South Sudan's schools has been destroyed, damaged, occupied or closed, leaving the country with the lowest school enrollment in the world.
Lowcock says 4 million people are now displaced, 2 million inside South Sudan and the rest in neighboring countries. UN experts warn that elections in South Sudan next year would be catastrophic and lead to more violence in the country. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva, where a report on the humanitarian consequences of civil war has been submitted to the UN Human Rights Council.
The Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan describes the humanitarian situation of millions of South Sudanese refugees and internally displaced people as almost unmanageable. The experts who visited Ethiopia and South Sudan between September 4th and 15th report shocking scenes of desperate refugees fighting to be registered. The experts say they saw people waiting in line collapse from hunger. In South Sudan's capital, Juba, they interviewed women who had been raped by soldiers and were unable to receive justice or recompense for their suffering. The commission says officials, including President Salva Kiir, told them they wanted to hold elections next year once the transitional government comes to an end. Commission member Godfrey Musila tells VOA, "This would be disastrous because such a government would lack legitimacy."
It would not be legitimate because a third of the population is displaced. Some of them are out of the country. It cannot be legitimate because political leaders, even the opposition that are abroad, some of them have been arrested and rendered back to Juba. They are not able to access the people to campaign.
Musila says the dormant peace process must be revitalized and a ceasefire put in place before an election can even be contemplated. Members of the commission agree. A hybrid court, which was approved by the African Union in 2013, must be established swiftly to hold perpetrators of serious abuses accountable for their actions. They say the people of South Sudan also need a commission on truth and healing. South Sudan became independent from neighboring Sudan in 2011 after decades of conflict. Less than 2 years later, the new nation descended into civil war after President Salva Kiir fired his deputy Riek Machar. The ensuing conflict has raged mainly along ethnic lines, with thousands killed and about 4 million people out of a population of 12 million displaced. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Trump administration has extended temporary protected status for nationals from South Sudan for 18 months, but will end the designation for citizens from Sudan in 2018. The Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, said yesterday that conditions in Sudan have been deemed sufficiently improved and that temporary protected status, or TPS, is no longer warranted for citizens from that country. The U.S. government confers such status on countries where citizens cannot return safely, or sometimes when the country cannot care for its own people. TPS for Sudan was set to expire on November 2nd, but DHS is extending the program for a year after that, through November 2nd of next year, to allow Sudanese nationals now benefiting from the temporary protected status to wrap up their affairs in the United States. The agency says Sudanese nationals with TPS status will have to re-register for the additional year. TPS for South Sudan has been extended until May 2, 2019. DHS says the extension is necessary because, quote, "the ongoing armed conflict and extraordinary and temporary conditions that prompted the 2016 TPS redesignation have persisted." South Sudanese nationals will also have to re-register to maintain their status. DHS DHS said it would publish re-registration deadlines for both groups later this week. At the end of 2016, a little over 1,000 Sudanese and 49 South Sudanese held TPS status. Twenty-five people are dead in northern Liège state after fighting between government forces and rebel fighters loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar on Monday. The attack is the latest incident in which both warring parties have again violated cessation of hostilities signed in the 2015 peace deal. Waki Simon Mudu has more for VOA from Juba.
Northern Liège State Information Minister Lam Tungwar says rebel fighters attacked Nyeldiu, a village located about 45 kilometers from Bentiu town, on Monday.
We had an attack from some organized group around 5 a.m. in the morning. So the attack was in one of the headquarters called Nyeldiu. And the attack was unexpected, and it was something that we didn't know it would turn out like this.
Northern Liège State is in the former oil-rich Unity State, where the warring parties have been fighting over control of oil fields since the violence broke out in South Sudan in December 2013. Colonel Dixon Galwak is the military spokesman for the SPLA-IO faction loyal to First Vice President Taban Dengai. Galwak claims the attack was aimed at disrupting community dialogue in Nyeldiu among community leaders and commissioners of three counties in northern Liège State. Tungwar says the death toll was high because the attack was a complete surprise.
We had a lot of casualties because it was an unexpected attack. We lost, in total number, the bodies that were found on the ground were around 25, with three women, old men, and then few policemen who are actually in that headquarter.
Tungwar says four policemen and two rebels, including their commander, were killed during the fighting. South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify the casualty figures as reported by Liège State authorities. Colonel Paul Lam Gabriel, the deputy military spokesman for Machar, released a statement accepting responsibility for the attack on Nyeldiu and claiming his forces captured Nyeldiu. He also claims SPLA-IO forces killed 19 government forces and captured 36 AK-47, 6 PKMs and 4 rocket-propelled grenades or RPGs. The spokesman of the South Sudan Army, Brigadier General Lul Roy Kwong, disputes those claims, saying government forces repulsed the rebels and are in full control of Nyeldiu. Kwong says most of those killed during the attack were civilians.
The initial reports we have received indicated that among the casualties were civilians, but we are yet to get casualties on the side of the rebels and on the side of the SPLA. We are in full control of Nyeldiu.
The United Nations Mission in South Sudan spokesman Daniel Dickenson says UNMISS has received conflicting reports of the security situation in the area and is still making contacts with its field officers in Bentiu. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. State members of parliament are arrested for allegedly holding meetings outside of parliament. Find out where when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite smell and why?
I love the smell of good food. For me, the smell of food means time to stop and eat and be happy.
My favorite smell is strawberry. Because of the fragrance, it brings ladies to me, it attracts ladies. And ladies like strawberries, so me too, I had to go along with strawberries.
I like mostly hibiscus. There is a sauce called hibiscus, I don't know. So I really feel good when I smell it, and I enjoy it so much.
My favorite smell is the smell of fish. When my mom cook fish, I really enjoy that smell.
Perfume, because it makes one smell nice and makes one confident in his going and coming.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Five members of parliament in Gok State were arrested by the National Security for allegedly holding meetings outside the assembly. The South Sudan Council of States and members of the National Assembly say the move by national security agents violates the Constitution. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Juba.
The Speaker of Gok State Assembly, Umjima Philip, says five members of the Assembly were arrested despite their immunity from arrest as MPs. She says the five are being held in detention, including the Assembly Chief Whip Santino Manuel Mading. The detained state MPs are accused of criticizing the state officials and allegedly holding or organizing meetings outside the Assembly. Gok State Assembly Speaker Umjima Philip says the MPs must be charged with a criminal offense and taken to court or must be released. Philip says what the security operatives did was illegal. Members of Gok Assembly say the orders to arrest the state lawmakers came directly from Gok State Governor Madang Majok. Yak Zakaria Mateng heads Gok State Assembly Security Committee. He accused the arrested MPs of working against the state government.
They are just working for the downfall of the government of the state. While we are the one party, cannot oppose himself. Even there in the constitution of the SPLM, we are the one party, and we have the room where we can talk among ourselves. And you cannot go outside and talk and make the rumors not clear and make incitement within the community. It's not correct. It's not the behavior of the party.
Philip insists members of the assembly are immune to arrest, and any order to arrest lawmakers must first be approved by the assembly.
In our context of business or constitution, states no criminal procedure shall be initiated against member of the state legislative assembly, nor shall be major to be taken against his or her person, not without permission from the speaker.
Members of the South Sudan Council of State say national security must respect legislative procedures and stop arresting elected members of parliament. James Magok is a member of the South Sudan Council of States who represents the Greater Lakes States, which is now Northern Lakes, Eastern Lakes, and Gok States. Magok says the national security and some appointed state governors continue violating the constitution and acting with impunity.
The procedure is totally wrong, and it has been repeating itself, you know, especially from the Greater Lake, not only the Gok State. It happened last year, 2016, where the two members from State Legislative Assembly for Lakes were arrested, and again this year in Eastern Lakes, three members are now under arrest, and the same in Gok State, where five members are under arrest.
Magok says a motion was tabled on Monday in the South Sudan Council of States to summon and discipline the governor of Greater Lakes for arresting people without charge.
They are appointed governors, and I don't know the authority that appointed them. I've actually told them that you have to follow the procedures when arrest a member, or if there's any problem in your state, you have to be abide by the law.
Amelia Alwell is the national member of parliament representing Gok. Alwell says security operatives and governors must respect the law and lawmakers.
We have in the assembly, there is a committee of security. Committee of security will handle that. So they can go and report to the committee of the assembly so that the members, assembly members, will take procedures of it. And not everybody to arrest elected member.
The Gok State Minister of Local Government, Isaac Mayom Malek, says the state is not aware that the lawmakers were arrested. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Jonglei State authorities have imposed a ban on all traditional dances and wrestling statewide. The move comes after a young man was killed on Saturday during a wrestling match in Tweech Central County. Some youth say instead of imposing an all-out ban, authorities should arrest the wrongdoers who started the fight. Dangai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei Minister for Information, Youth, Culture and Sport, Akej Dengdit, says the government imposed a ban on all traditional dances and wrestling until the government decides it is safe to resume such seasonal activities across the state.
The government of Jonglei State put out an order to stop immediately wrestling and dancing in all 14 counties of Jonglei State. This practice has been on for so many years in this land, and there are those rules and norms that are respected. And if it comes to a point that young people are killing themselves, as a government, we cannot allow that.
Dengdit says wrestling and dancing festivals should be used by the youth to promote peace and coexistence.
These American wrestling or Nubian wrestling are different from the Dinka wrestling. The Dinka wrestling, there is rules and norms that were followed. Why are you bringing things that were not in the culture, like killing people? You can disagree with someone before, but there's a way it used to be solved. How can you end up and go and attack a person, beat him up to death?
Dengdit says two suspects were arrested and security agents are still searching for more youth involved in the killing. 27-year-old Bowtown resident Ayuen Makur says he is not happy with the ban on the wrestling and dances. He says police should not allow people to carry weapons into wrestling venues.
Important of wrestling is to bring youth under one umbrella, both girls and boys. So the government will make an arrangement of police to remove the gun, spear and stick from the youth who are going to the wrestling. And I beg the government, the youth to resume the wrestling.
23-year-old resident Lueth Alier also opposes the ban that went into effect yesterday. Speaking in Dinka, Alier says the wrestling practice allows Jonglei wrestling teams to prepare for national wrestling matches like the ones organized in Juba last year by the USAID.
The wrestling was bringing us together for practice, but now it is banned. I don't think that the idea was wise. The government should find out the root cause of the fight, like the collection of weapons during matches, and allow us to continue with our games.
Alier and Makur are calling on state officials to lift the ban on traditional dances and wrestlings, saying keeping youth idle may encourage them to take part in criminal activity. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng, reporting from Bor.
The Wildlife Conservation Society in South Sudan says the government needs to regulate the petroleum and mining companies operating in South Sudan to prevent environmental damage to people living near oil fields. The South Sudan Minister of Mining says his government is revising the Mining Act of 2012 and will enforce laws on the books to prevent environmental hazards. Nabil Biagio has this report for VOA from Juba.
Arshad Khan, the country program manager of the United Nations Environmental Program in South Sudan, says the way oil is extracted in South Sudan is very destructive to the environment and to communities located around oil fields.
The oil exploration in this country is polluting the water and soil. It is affecting the grazing land and the traditional livelihood in those areas where the oil exploration is taking place.
Khan says oil extraction in South Sudan is already affecting people's health.
We have reports that there are some deformed births. Also, there are issues of skin, lungs and other health by using that water or drinking that water.
Michael Lopedia, Chief of Party and Deputy Country Director at the Wildlife Conservation Society in South Sudan, says the government must tightly regulate the petroleum and mining sectors to prevent environmental hazards. He says the extraction of oil and minerals will destroy other resources such as fisheries and forests if not kept in check.
We want them to be extracted in such a way that also the other natural resources are taken care of. Otherwise, if we put our hands on extracting them heavily and we destroy our environment, then, well, if they are finished, what shall we do? So we want the laws of this mining and petroleum really to be put into place so that we benefit from all the resources of South Sudan, including wildlife, forests, waters, grazing lands, name them.
Northern Upper Nile State Governor Deng Akwei confirms oil extraction has hurt the environment and believes it is linked to birth defects in the area.
Like pollution of the environment, like contaminated water, even the cattle around the oil field, sometimes they have been died because of those of attack. The people sometimes, some of child, they have been born with unformed shape, a lot of things.
Akwei says regulations guiding oil extraction must be enforced by state authorities on oil companies.
As three, we supposed to get chance and sit together to change that system that has been used now so that we can minimize, we can be able to minimize the impact of the environment to our people, the local people, I mean.
South Sudan Mining Minister Gabriel Tokuch says his ministry is working on amending the Mining Act of 2012, which includes a provision for preserving the environment and protecting the people who live near oil fields.
The minister has provisions in law. You comply with the laws, you are our brothers and our friends. You don't comply, I don't want to use the word kick out, but you are not part of us. We revoked your license.
Tokuch says once the Mining Act is strengthened, his ministry will enforce the new laws and monitor the work of oil companies operating in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. As the UN General Assembly session continues in New York, a high-level meeting was held today on the humanitarian conditions in South Sudan as a nearly four-year-long conflict drags on. Catherine Mwangi, the UN representative from Kenya, said everything described in the meeting has been said before but has fallen on deaf ears. The political leaders, she say, must stop the violence, and they have a responsibility to make sure aid workers have access to people in need. UNMISS Chief David Shearer, also at the meeting, said most places are reachable, but there's still some critical areas where humanitarians don't have access. UN experts warn that elections in South Sudan next year would be catastrophic and lead to more violence. A report on the humanitarian consequences of the conflict has been submitted to the UN Human Rights Council, which describes the humanitarian situation of millions of refugees and internally displaced people as almost unimaginable. The experts who visited Ethiopia and South Sudan in September reported shocking scenes of desperate refugees fighting to be registered, adding they saw people waiting in line collapse from hunger. And finally, 25 people were killed Monday in northern Leech State, after fighting between government forces and fighters loyal to rebel leader Riek Machar in that state. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song Get Up with Emmanuel Jal.
Yeah. They say all walk and no play makes me a dull boy. But you know what I say? I gotta get up. Suitcase from one place to another place. Hey, I get a chance sometimes. I make a few dollars sometimes. I'm thinking I deserve a night in the town, having fun with my friends around. Hey, I gotta get up.
We've been listening to South Sudanese sensation Emmanuel Jal with the song Get Up. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. We want to know what you think about the show. You can reach us online at southsudan@voanews.com or find us on our Facebook page, South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.